hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter.
Hello, this is Anil Kumar and welcome to Back to the Bible with Dr. John Neufeld. Today we continue with Dr. John Neufeld's series, The King Goes Public, with a concluding message on The Temptations of the King, Part 2. So let's prepare for the message today by reading from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Dr. Neufeld, we are so grateful that you are able to join in the ministry with the Back to the Bible. We look forward in the days ahead to learn more about you and your vision. But for a moment, could you tell us a little about yourself, your background, and your family?
Yes, I'm married. I have three wonderful children. I have five grandchildren. I've been in pastoral ministry for about 35 years, but I've also been the Bible teacher at Back to the Bible now for the last 2 years. And so I'm involved in doing a daily Bible teaching program, which I hope to do here as well. And it's just a joy to be a part of this ministry here with you, Anil.
Thank you so much. We look forward to hearing more about you in the days ahead. Let's go back to the Bible with Dr. John Neufeld.
Matthew 4, 5 to 6 reads, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Now this truly is an amazing event. No doubt Satan leaves Jesus standing on the wall of the southeast corner of the temple. See, from there, the temple wall joined the outside of the city wall and went down past the edge of the city down into the Kidron Valley. It would have been a height of at least 300 feet, like standing at the top of a 30-story building with your feet looking over the edge. And at this dizzying height, Satan whispers into his ear, "Throw yourself down." And then, amazingly enough, he has scripture to back it up. Psalm 91, "He will command his angels." He says, "Since at your baptism, the Father identified you as his son, and you're committed to trusting him. I accept that, but let's find out if that's a good and reasonable thing to do. Let's test your assumption in ministry. Let's see if, according to the promise of Scripture, God does what he promised he will do. Find out for yourself if he's worthy of trust. You say you trust him, well then, let's settle the matter once and for all." Now that, on one hand, seems reasonable. But Jesus has been meditating on Deuteronomy. And now he quotes Deuteronomy 6, verse 16. Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." But let's read the entire verse from Deuteronomy 6, 16. There it reads, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test as you tested him at Massah." Now, how many of you remember what happened at Massah? is described in Exodus 17, verse 2 to 7. There the Israelites were lacking water, and they said, "Maybe God has brought us out of Egypt into this wilderness to kill us by thirst." And so, even after seeing the plagues in Egypt, the Red Sea crossing, the pillar of cloud over them by day, and the pillar of fire by night, the daily miracle of manna, they still said, "But how do we know what he truly intends? Maybe he doesn't love us at all. Maybe he wants to kill us. We need a special miracle to settle this matter. Otherwise, our minds will never be at ease." Now, in the days that lay ahead for Jesus, this kind of knowledge might come in rather handy. What lay before Jesus were things like persecution, slander, suffering, misunderstanding, and then, of course, finally and ultimately, the cross. You better settle this matter. Does God actually view me as his beloved son? Let's make him declare himself. And here's the second and the greatest temptation that we ever face. Temptation two is this: make God prove he's worthy of trust. But here's a question. Has God not already proved that? Do you remember what was said to the rich man in hell who wanted a miracle, someone rising from the dead and confronting his brothers? Abraham said to him, "They already have Moses and the prophets. If they will not believe Moses, they will not believe if someone rises from the dead." And you, my dear listener, you have a Bible which is already attested as God's word. You have the cross. You have the empty tomb. You have an overwhelming body of evidence regarding God's intention toward you. What do you think sustained Jesus in his hours of trial? As he hung on a cross, what gave him the assurance that he was the object of the Father's delight? See, the person who demands at every point, "God, show me you still love me," is the person who will never be satisfied. There'll never be enough evidence for you. There's always another moment in which you demand that God prove himself, and in that you're saying, "God, in spite of your promise, I'm still not sure I can trust you. One word is not enough. Neither are two words, or 100, or 1,000, or a book of your own written by the Spirit of God. I need more evidence today." See, here's the question. Is not the problem in your heart? That was the problem with Israel in the wilderness. It was not a lack of evidence. It was a heart attitude. And Jesus recognized this for what it was. If God had spoken once, it was enough. If God had said, "You are my beloved son," it was enough. And if the Father tells us today that we've been adopted into his family as sons and daughters, hear me, it's enough. Let's move to our last temptation. Matthew 4, 8 and 9 says, "And the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" See, at this point, all subtlety is gone. Satan says, "So you're going to trust God. But think for a moment. You and I know you are called upon by God to rule the nations. But God is also calling you to humility and suffering and radical obedience and the hatred of a jeering crowd. I offer you also the opportunity to rule the nations, but I will remove from you the bitter pill that the Father demands. Just abandon the cross, embrace your role as a Messiah today, and begin to rule." So here now is temptation number three. Worship demons and have your heart's desire. At the very heart of this is the question of what kind of a king Jesus will be. And by the way, I hear some politicians speaking this way. You have too. They say, "You have to give up on some of your principles to get into power." But lest we're too condemning, haven't we all done the same? Have you ever sacrificed obedience to God to get what you want? You seek to fill the void in your soul, and you embrace the arms of another man's wife. You wanted your way, and so you have slandered a man or a woman who stood in your way. You wanted riches now, so you took some unethical shortcuts. Don't you see what you've done? You've worshiped before Satan's throne. You've become a worshiper of demons. Satan is always whispering, "Worship me. I'll give you what you long for." You need love and food and friendship and significance and the ability to make a difference. And Satan says, "I offer all of that. Come and worship, and you'll receive your heart's desire." See, at this moment, Jesus becomes genuinely angry. And in his anger, he's still meditating on Deuteronomy, and this time on Deuteronomy 6:13. And so in Matthew 4:10, we read, "Then Jesus said to him, 'Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" See, Jesus knows that There can be nothing you do more heinous than to find your pleasure in anything other than God. At this point, Matthew adds, "Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him." I find an irony here. At the second temptation, when Satan promised Jesus that the angels would protect him as he fell those 300 feet from the temple, Jesus resisted him, and now, having entrusted himself to trusting in God, the angels come and minister to him. At the heart of all temptation is the desire to have something which in itself can be good. Think of it this way. The man or woman who embraces a sexual relationship outside of marriage wants something that in itself can be good. Sex is good because God actually made it. God also created intimacy and tenderness and the sharing of lives. The question really is, who will you trust? Yourself? Satan? Will you demand that God prove to you his intentions? And that brings us back to a question I had initially addressed. Why did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus to a place where he allowed Satan to tempt him? And why does God allow us to be tempted and not remove us from the hour of temptation? All temptation provides us with many benefits. How you respond is a mirror to your own soul. And once you realize how sinful you are, if you do this thing right, it can drive you to dependence on God. And this is the key. If you do it right, it will drive you to the only place where victory is found. Jesus prevailed by reading, meditating, and relying on what God had said in Scripture. And if that's how the Son of God prevailed, then why is it that many of us face our greatest challenges while being ignorant of this book? Right now, you're facing the greatest temptations any man or woman can face, and some don't even know what those temptations are. But they are. Number one, trust yourself. Number two, make God prove he's worthy of your trust. And number three, be sure. And the only way you'll prevail is the same way Jesus did. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths."
Thank you, Dr. John, for that message. Right now, you may be facing the greatest temptation of your life. Well, turn to God. He is worthy of your trust. Tomorrow, we will continue with our series, The King Goes Public, with the beginning of a message entitled, The Headquarters of the King. Back to the Bible, leading people into a dynamic relationship with God. We are excited to announce that Back to the Bible has launched a brand new website which offers all of our Bible teaching resources, including the on-air messages of Dr. John Neufeld, news about the ministry, including events like our upcoming Pastors Fellowship this coming February, our Bible teaching correspondent courses, an opportunity to receive our bi-monthly magazine, Confident Living. With the new website, there is never a reason to miss another Bible teaching message from Dr. John Neufeld. And you can order every program that you hear or complete Bible teaching series on CD. So why not visit backtothebible.in today? That is backtothebible.in. Or for more information, call us at 9492-440070. That is 9492-440070.
Solid ground.